Winter Vista. It's a bonus episode. Here we are in the mind of Winston. I'm a 12-year-old black pug, and due to being cursed by satanic forces at my birth, I am a huge prick. Wandering around my vile, terrible mind, there are many thoughts. I'm considering dropping the most foul and wretched fart you've ever smelt in your life, or licking my paws with mouth sounds I can only describe as pushing misophonia to new and more violent levels. Maybe rooting around in the pantry like a wild hog. In ancient times, I would be an omen for floods and bad crops, and I would be hunted out of the village with torches and crossbows. With me is Andrew. He's the part of the brain that controls my vacant and ghastly face. Andrew, why do you think you have been, or Winston has been, cursed with such a dreadful existence? You look so stupid. You think you look so dumb. There are no thoughts in your head.
I made a very specific choice to make sure that both of the eyes kind of point off in different directions.
Is Winston looking fully at black, me? Completely black, like a ghoul,
like a doll that belongs to Satan.
Yeah, like an Annabelle figure. Why have pugs been cursed in this way?
I don't know. They are definitely up there on the breeds of dogs where of all of them. You know, any time that my kids are like, let's get a dog, and I go, no! No! Because I don't need that in my life. My house is tidy. But you're whenever we're talking about it, they love pugs, and I'm just like, that is the last
absolutely
kind of dog.
Not.
Last kind of dog I would be getting is one of the dogs of many on a list that we have bred to the point where you are guaranteed to have to do an operation on their face.
You are spending so much money at the vet on that dog. And he's not enjoying life either.
No, I'm trying to remember what kind of dog it was that, was it pugs? Or it was bulldogs. Some Scandi country recently banned like the sale of maybe bulldogs or pugs. Because they were like, no, they're all fucked up now. And some overwhelming majority of them require facial surgery just to live.
They should probably be bred to extinction.
That's not good.
We're harming them by making them born.
Yeah, the Netherlands a couple of years ago banned breeding short muzzled dogs.
It's probably good.
Probably a good idea.
Also with me is Ben. That's the part of Winston's brain that controls his selfish manner and the fact he doesn't care about anyone but himself. Ben, why do you think that me, Lucy, was cursed with this eternal awful presence?
I have two things to say to you. The first is, tee-hee-hee. And the second is, adoo. Those are my two states. I am cunning and selfish, but I'm dumb as fuck.
I'm dumb and cunning.
I hate to pull back the curtain here. Is he in the room with you right now?
No, he's all outside right of the room.
Okay, he's probably not listening.
He's about to go and drink his entire bowl of water and then forget that he did it and come back and do it again.
He's probably nice to hang out with, though, right? Is he cuddly on the couch if you watched a movie? Oh, man.
If I pat him, he does this thing where he gets too excited and rubs his head in between my legs.
And you like that,
I don't know what that's about, and I don't care for it.
Treasured friend of the show, the other Ben Jungles, has two beautiful dogs. One of which is like about 7 inches tall. And she's, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old. But she is the smallest thing I've ever seen in my life. She has the pointed ears of a Mogwai, and her brain just doesn't work. Like, she's a very sweet little creature, but like, she's only got like 5 brain cells and they don't fully connect. So, like, little things where if she sees you, a person she's familiar with, she is both terrified of you but also wants a scratch. So she will make her body U-shaped by pointing her little butt at you for a butt scratch while trying to back away from you with the front half of her body. She's sort of cat-dogging herself.
Is she like a chihuahua?
I don't actually know what she is. She's smaller than a chihuahua.
Yeah, I have a friend who has furry. A chihuahua, and just the same thing. Like, the brain is so small and it's anxious.
It's very, I mean, she's very cute and she's very cuddly. Also, both of her owners listen to this show, and I don't want to sound like I'm slandering your dog, but she does have brain problems. I think it's only fair to say. Also, I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was just announced like last week that for the last 30 years, Labradors were the most common dog breed in America for people to have as pets, up until this year where it got overtaken by French Bulldogs.
Oh.
Huh.
They became real trendy, huh? It's a trendy dog.
Yeah. And like, there's probably some... If I'm being generous, you know, people probably moving to smaller dogs because we're getting forced into like smaller and smaller apartments.
That's
like,
also true.
You know, whatever situations. But at the same time, that's fucked up. That's really fucked up. Just have like a normal dog.
There are so many breeds of dogs, normal and otherwise, where I just, and I'm sure that Winston falls into this category, where I simply cannot fuck with the amount of hair coming off these dogs. Like, everybody I know who's ever had a golden retriever or a Labrador, you go into their house and like every surface of the house is just covered in whirlwinds of blonde hair. If you got a short-haired dog as well, like my brother got a boxer a little while ago, a white boxer, right? And it was cheaper than the other boxers because they were like, oh no, well, you don't want them white because then they like get sunburned and shit. You know, but he got this dog and it's really, really nice dog, like great temperament, you know, very, very cuddly guy. He'll come and lie on you with all of his 80 kilos of mass or whatever. But he's short haired, white hair. So if you're wearing like black jeans and he walks past and like touches you, not only do you have all this hair on you, but somehow the hairs have like threaded themselves through the weave.
Oh, they're never coming out. Yeah,
through the weave of your clothing, and you can put it through the washing machine, and the washing machine doesn't get them out.
Couscous get on you?
Yeah, she insists on doing, climbs up my chest and just lies down on my chest and stuff. She'll like shed some hair and stuff, but you can just go like, you can just brush that off you, and it comes off. Largely speaking,
dog hair gets into the weft. Mm. That's in the warp.
Really do. I think it's the shortness of the hair. Like Couscous's hair is a good length, but.
Because of my vibrant personality, I don't ever really wear black. So the amount of dog hair I'm covered in at all times, not super visible, but Maddie being, you know, stylish, constantly covered in visible dog hair now because of Louie. It's a horrible curse that she has had to bear out of love for that creature.
Well, you might get one of those even more cursed dogs that has like light hair and dark hair on it. And then
you're never safe.
It's getting on your black pants and your white shirts, you know, fucking you up. We're done with dogs, folks. Buena Vista anti-dog podcast.
No. I'm pro-dog. Christ. Andrew, you're the anti-dog man.
You're pro-dog anti-Winston.
I'm pro... Yeah, exactly. He doesn't count.
I feel like I want to root for Winston. I feel like he is the underdog.
You would think that until you spend a day with him and then you're like, you are such a little prick. You're a little cunt. Do you know that?
Winston, the literal underdog.
Yeah.
Poor little guy.
Poor Winnie.
Just out here trying to... Oh, Winnie. It sounds like you love him.
I'd be sad if he died. That's the nicest thing I could say.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I've been documenting for some time now my cat's mental decline as she gets older.
Mm.
And so Elder's been taking her to the vet to talk about her like night terrors and all that sort of stuff. Her night screaming. And they've started doing like, you know, she was in the vet on Friday, I think, and they took some blood and they stole some of her urine and are doing some tests. They're also going to like, we're going to start giving her some monthly shot that will either help with her high blood pressure or potentially pain from arthritis or whatever, you know. So we've got the simultaneous thing of like, we really want this annoying behavior to like come down a few notches, but the process of sorting out what's going on with the annoying behavior also makes you a little more aware of your old pet's mortality.
Mm. You know,
so she comes back from the vet and you're like, oh, come here.
Have you considered she might just be possessed?
Maybe by a Winston style spirit.
Yeah. Has your cat maybe been hereditaried or skinnamarinked?
Has your cat been skinnamarinked?
Not to my knowledge. Two thumbs down for that movie.
Oh, I liked it.
God damn it. I'm so angry. Maybe so fucking angry.
It's very long and literally nothing happens in it. But I spent the whole time being like, ooh.
I saw that it was spooky. Long. And I was like, nah. One hour 30.
I think it's like relatively normal length, but nothing happens in it. So yeah, like,
it's excruciating. Excruciating. I'm sure that for a lot of people, if you're in the right headspace and you like solely atmosphere and nothing else, you know, it was just, to me, it was a lot like, it was a lot like going to see your friend who plays like ambient noise electronica at a show where they also pick some visuals that they play on a projector behind them. Except you also have to watch the other bands that are there.
Yeah.
You know? It's
exactly like that.
And it goes for an hour and there's some creepy visuals, but then nothing really happens and the music doesn't really change and neither do the visuals, and then it ends. You're like...
That sounds like a perfect night out for me. Which is maybe why I liked Skinamarink.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure I want it as a movie that I am meant to 100% be paying attention to.
Yeah.
You know? Watch it, Lucy. You'll get so mad.
Okay.
Or you'll get a little spooked.
Maybe I will get a little spooked. Maybe I'll turn all the lights off. Maybe I'll put on the Sonos, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we did. We were like, ooh, we've heard all these things. People are like, it's the next Blair Witch. It's the viral horror movie sensation. And we went, you know what? We're fucking here for it. And we like turned off all the lights and we had the sound system on and we were there in the dark, you know, a little bit high just to be a little bit spookable. And 5 minutes go by and I was like, ooh, atmosphere. It's a little spooky. And then like 20 minutes went by and I went, okay. And then like 40 minutes go by and you're starting to say to yourself, there's no fucking way this is it. There's no fucking way this is the whole movie.
Don't check out Skinamarink.
It turns out it's the whole movie.
Check out Skinamarink.
It's up to you, really. Yeah.
It's your choice.
Yeah, no, that's true. If you do like highly value 1 to 2 hours of your time, you wouldn't be listening to this show.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Go for it. Go for it. Oh, folks, trading money for an hour of your time, that's the biggest scam I've ever heard of. It's time for Scam Watch.
Now, this doesn't constitute news, really, in that I think that this shit has been around for a while. It's just the first time that I have seen the thing that I'm about to introduce you to or remind you exists, if you've already seen it. First, I'd like to tell you a story of a man. This is from his website. For many people, their business is their livelihood, as it was for Dick Wicks. So true. However, through his own personal experience in managing chronic pain, magnets became his life. And that's why he was known as the Magnetic Man.
Magnets, that's such a retro scam.
Yeah, like, I'm getting into magnets in a big way.
They call me Mr. Magnets.
Dick Magnets, they call me. We invite you to read on as we provide, in Dick's own words, a brief background to our founder and how magnets helped him beat the pain. Now, I've skipped the part where he says it in his own words, but I do have some more stuff here. Since 1984, Dick Wicks, TM, so he's trademarked his own name. If I was him, I would have gone with Dick Wicks Magnet Magnate.
Yeah.
Dick Wicks TM is absolutely the person who has started up a company selling penis-shaped candles to go on cakes at like hen's parties.
I bet if you go on fucking Etsy right now and search for Dick Wicks, you are 100% getting dick candles. They're probably real. Since 1984, Dick Wicks has been developing a range of drug-free, all caps, non-invasive products based on magnetic therapy principles. These products are now used by thousands of people all over the world. In 1999, Dick wrote his autobiography entitled Dick Wicks, the Magnetic Man, in which he provided a more detailed account of, quote, how magnets helped me beat the pain. Non-specific pain. Feel free to browse the website for relevant information or check out our range of luxury magnetic therapy products. Mm-hmm. And I have. And now, first, I know you guys probably have some questions, so I've taken two questions.
The question I would have asked.
Yeah, the first one here?
Yeah. Is there any scientific evidence to suggest that magnets work?
And what a wonderful question, Lucy. Let Dick Wicks answer you for me. Over time, numerous clinical studies, in capitals there, not sure why, have been conducted on the effectiveness of magnetic therapy. Some have resulted in positive conclusions. Okay. Details of these studies are not provided on this website, but can readily be accessed through various libraries and through the World Wide Web.
Do your own research. I'm not here to educate you.
Andrew is making a disgusted face.
Yeah.
I just, look, I hate to distract from the story that we're listening to, but I did go and put Dick Wicks into Etsy. And
are you
of
getting
course,
dick candles?
Of course there are some dick candles, right? There's also a candle with a label on the front of it that says, light this wick when it's time to ride your dick.
Oh.
And it's an anniversary gift. So you can give that to your partner and they can light it when it's time for
like
you.
Like a sex lamp?
So this is like the sex lamp or the sex like candle sex that we discussed earlier, except it's single use.
Well, I guess...
Or is
you
it
know,
a big
you,
candle? Like, are you... Is no, it a multiple a, use candle?
It's a jar. It's a jar candle, like something you'd get from, I don't know, Dusk or something. But what I was actually more bothered by was this, this Loke Sanity listing for handmade dreadlock wicks, bonks, globs.
Pardon?
South Florida, 4 centimeter thick, 100% human hair. And you can buy a pre-grown dreadlock from somebody else to extend your own dreadlocks to get like a bit of a head start.
Which was what were those list the words that you used? The blobs?
Dreadlock, wicks, bonks, globs.
Okay.
Now you don't have to wait for years to get your wicks. These are pre-made using 100% real human hair. They will move and behave just like wicks you grew yourself. Whether it's just to get a little extra length on the ones you have or a new establishment, this is what you'll need.
Now...
$40 each.
Fuck. Mm. Someone else's filthy hair for $40.
Are there any photos of people using them? Because I want to make sure this is a white person product so it's okay for us to make fun of it. Yeah, surely. It's on Etsy.
White ladies be shopping on Etsy, am I right?
White ladies use Etsy and Pinterest like there's no fucking tomorrow. They're crazy about those two websites.
There are,
also,
there
Etsy
are
is basically just Redbubble now. It's horrible.
Awful yeah, it website. Is, huh?
Yeah, just selling some. I had no idea that...
You could use graphs to start your dreadlocks?
Yeah, I mean, I know that people do that with all kinds of stuff.
Now you're thinking, oh, that could be me.
I know that hair extensions generally and everything, the difference is whether it's like fake or made out of real hair, you know?
Mm. When I was a young man, when I was a teen, like when I was a kid, I really, really, really wanted dreadlocks because I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Partially inspired by the Freestyler music video.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I was like, Funk MC.
Yeah.
That, official that, song of the show.
That Finnish guy has the coolest dreads I've ever seen in my life. And this is also like spurned on a lot by the fact that my oldest brother also, he had dreadlocks when he was in his like early 20s. And so I just sort of assumed that that was a thing that was in my capabilities for like my entire life. Because I'm like, well, we've got the same hair. That'll be fine. No one at any point pointing out that this was because he's my half-brother and his mum is black.
Oh.
And that's why he had dreadlocks. This was a fact that I didn't really become fully aware of until like last year due to complicated things within my family. But it would have been nice if someone would have chimed in at any point in my childhood and been like, no, you
can't.
Hey, that's not going to work out for you.
You are all Scottish. You are 100% Scottish. Where were we? Can I use magnetic products if I am pregnant?
Cool.
There is currently no research on the effect, brackets positive or negative, that magnetic fields may have on pregnancy or your baby.
Oh, that's very
I
reassuring.
Think that seems bad. You don't want something in your pregnancy that there hasn't been any studies on.
Yeah, you don't want a mystery element, I don't think.
What if that baby's magnetic?
What if you give birth to a little magneto?
For this reason, we generally recommend that you use magnetic products whilst pregnant only after you have checked with your obstetrician / doctor first.
And if you go to your doctor and say, can I use magnets? They're probably going to say, don't do that.
Say, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. you're going to get a weird look, and they're going to be like, what? Yeah, that's
so fine. Because they used to sell, like, magnetic bracelets and shit all the time in the 90s, I remember.
Yeah.
Early 2000s. Like, oh, just bracelets with magnets.
I mean, that is, like, 100% what this shit is. Here's some example products of what you can buy from Dick Wick's Magnet Magnate. For $29.95, you can buy the Active Ease Premium Cotton Pillow Protector with 45 Dick Wick's magnets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Oh, you gotta just be calling them dick magnets.
Yeah, dick magnets.
Little dickies.
So that's just a pillowcase that's lined with magnets.
You could do that yourself at home.
you really could.
They're really fucking cheap. You can buy so many magnets for so little money. You can go
to like a souvenir store and get so many magnets.
How big are the magnets that are in these pillowcases? Do we know?
I think we're talking like watch battery sized.
I'm just going to say it. I don't think they're doing that much.
Yes. Wow. No, I agree. But I'm not a scientist. Are you a magnet
doctor?
Well, I'm saying if it was me, and look, I need to do a bit of research to figure out how to also make this comfortable. But like, you know the big hefty magnets that if another one of those magnets sticks to it, you're just like never getting them apart.
Yeah.
Pillowcase full of them.
Yeah.
I want it scrambling my brainwave. I want it giving me the craziest dreams I've ever had.
I want every night when I go to bed, that bit from X-Men 1 or 2 where they dose up the security guard with a ton of iron and then Magneto strips it out of his body. I want that to happen to me every time I go to bed. You can also get the Dick Wick's Premium Wool Magnetic Underlay in 3 sizes. Starting at $259.95 for a double.
Fuck.
This is how they describe it. We give you the most magnets. Up to 340 of them. Don't say up to.
Yeah.
And leave room for it being 20.
I'm not wanting to get less magnets.
Say at least 300 if you need to leave some wiggle room in there.
Yeah.
Jesus. At the cheaper end of the spectrum, for $14.95, you can purchase Dick Wick's ear orbs. Now, these are an incredible product because they, quote, allow you to instantly transform all your old earrings into natural drug-free magnetic therapy products. So you're hooking little magnets onto the back of your earrings and they're doing acupressure and magnet therapy to you, Dick Wick's ear orbs.
Because they're just magnetized in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and just in case you were wondering, that's 800 Gauss strength per orb.
I was wondering about the Gauss strength per orb.
In the Dick Wick's ear orbs. That's so much fun to say. Dick Wick's ear orbs.
Hey, couldn't help but notice you checking out my Dick Wick's ear orbs.
Oh, you don't have Dick Wick's?
Are those ear orbs Dick Wick's?
Are they off-brand? I wouldn't buy off-brand ones.
I've got Stephen Penis ear orbs.
I just wouldn't risk it.
On clearance at the moment for a mere $99.95 is the Dick Wick's Bioelectric Magnet Therapy Machine. Sorry, Bioelectro Magnet Therapy Machine.
That's how you know it's real.
Yeah, and it, quote, may help ease non-specific pain. May stimulate blood circulation, may improve ion flow in the bloodstream, and can provide, quote, possible relief of minor aches, pains around the lower back, neck, knee, ankle, elbow, etc.
May promote possible relief. That's excellent. That's a double whammy.
Yeah.
May promote possible.
It's theoretically possible that it will have a potential effect.
If you're driving right now, pull over and look up Dick Wick's bioelectromagnet therapy machine. It's just like a little plastic thing with two electrodes and a dial you turn up. So you just slap some little
contact pads. Are you like putting on your brain or like...
Oh, wherever the pain is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing. I like how
it also just says it's only for minor aches and pains.
Yeah, it will not fix a broken leg. Don't even try. And I have one final product for you here available from Dick Wick's. For $229.95, you can purchase the Dick Wick's Magnetic Horse Rug.
Yes.
Magnetize your horse.
Sold.
Now. The, quote, product goals of the Dick Wicks magnetic horse rug.
Product goals, if you ask me.
This is such a funny way to phrase things, because generally if you sell someone a product, you tell...
It should do the thing.
You tell the people what it does, not what you hope it does. Ideally,
it would do this.
The Dick Wicks magnetic horse rug will help to repel pain and attract soundness.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You do want your horse to be sound as the proverbial pound.
Is it for a horse, or does it just have an image of a nice horse on it?
Oh, no, it's made from horse.
Oh.
No, it's for a horse. It's a horse rug that you would put over your horse when it's cold at a night time.
That's not that exciting.
Lucy, yeah. Would it help if we called it a horse blankie?
Yeah, it would. Thanks.
Okay.
It does, well, it attempts to help repel pain and attract soundness with 100 strategically positioned magnets. Hmm. That's a nice round number of magnets. I like that.
What is attract soundness like?
I don't know, but it's wonderful. That sounds like something that
you're... You make your horse sound.
That's like what an Irish spiritual guru would tell you to try and do with your life. Attract soundness, if you can, by focusing on it.
With your magnets.
With your magnets, that's right. And that concludes Dick Wicks.
Hey, check out codeine. Check out Panadeine Fort.
Yeah, check out taking 2 Panadol and 2 Nurofen and then drinking a water and having a lie down.
Shot of whiskey.
Don't do that one that Ben said, though, by the way.
What? Why not?
Quite bad for your whole liver-kidney situation, I think.
Are you saying like ibuprofen and Panadol? That's fine.
Yeah, paracetamol and ibuprofen in the one thing. Yeah. But they sell that in a dose where it is effectively just one of each.
Okay.
They're not combining like full-strength doses of both.
All right. It's fine to take them both at the same time, but not for long-term treatment of pain. Is what I'm seeing here.
Now, you may think to yourself that, you know, hey, it's pretty crazy that I am receiving medical advice for my horse and my pain relief from this podcast, and this is probably where the medical advice comes to a close. And you'd be wrong. This is only the beginning of us starting to commentate on the lives of doctors. It's time for Paging Dr. Lucy.
If you find that you are having a little relationship trouble, just to pick up your telephone and dial it on the double. You call 1-800-317-5155. Now you're paging Dr. Lucy.
So normally, what we're doing here is, we're looking at somebody who's asking for advice and we're giving our solution to their advice. We're dispensing the advice doctor style. But sometimes it's important to look into what's happening on the other side of the fence. What's going on with the doctors? What are the doctors getting up to, you know?
Who doctors the doctors?
So true. This comes to us from the CBC, the Kibbuka. BC man shocked to discover health file described him as a, quote, redneck hick.
They said that to me at a dinner.
A Merritt BC man says he was shocked to discover that notes from his physiotherapist in his official workers' compensation file used derogatory remarks to describe him and his injury. Quote, bent penis, unquote. Robert Munro, 37, hurt his back in December while on the job delivering furniture. He filed a WorkSafe BC claim and ended up in physiotherapy. But while reviewing his WorkSafe BC file, he came across comments referring to him as a, quote, redneck hick to death, end quote, and a, quote, uneducated massive redneck pussy, end quote, and claimed he was, quote, playing the system. End quote. That's very good.
That's don't write that down.
You can just think that about people you're working with.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what opinions to have at your job. I think this person was maybe being uncharitable, but in the privacy of your own mind, you can be as uncharitable as you like. That's don't true. Write it down. Don't
that's
put it
so
into the system.
Full on too.
Like, these notes were digitized.
That's not just this guy's pretty annoying. Uneducated, massive redneck pussy.
The thought police can't come into your mind and tell you what you can or can't think yet. So take advantage of it now. Really think the worst about all the people that you meet in your life, you know? And then you smile. You say, hey. Hey, girlfriend.
Hey.
quote, the physiotherapist was really nice right up front, Munro told Daybreak Kamloops guest host Doug Herbert. Daybreak Kamloops.
Daybreak Kamloops.
The fuck kind of name is that for a news show?
It sounds Dutch, the way it does. Oh, it's a city.
He said it made him feel uncomfortable about returning to the same physiotherapist for care.
It'd probably make me feel, a little bit uncomfortable.
Turns out, he wrote in my patient file, this guy's a real piece of shit. Yeah, you don't want to go back after that. Munro reported it to his WorkSafe case manager. A complaint was then filed with the Interior Health Authority. Interior Health has confirmed Munro's complaint and said it is currently under investigation. We're trying to figure out if he really is an uneducated, massive redneck pussy or not.
We're going to sack tap him, see how mad he gets, and if he gets really mad, he is a pussy.
That's what physiotherapy is.
No wonder you've been such a pussy about your file. Munro says his file has since been edited to remove the inappropriate comments and was told by his case manager it was so he didn't have to relive seeing it every time he logged on to WorkSafe for information about his case.
Fair enough.
Having Vietnam-style flashbacks every time you read it again.
Pussy. Redneck pussy.
Just a little side note here. Kamloops comes from a name for the area from settlers who called it Fort Kumpkloops. And it's spelled Kumcloops, which was, again, taken from a transliteration of a local First Nations word meaning meeting of the waters. Kumpkloops. Oh.
I can't laugh at Kumpkloops.
Well, see, this one's a tough one because sometimes it's not close to the original word and white people have just written it down in a funny way. And then you've got to be like...
It does say cum.
Yeah.
It is funny.
Yeah. Not for us to say. We report, you decide.
That's right. Anyway, he said that he was sure to keep screenshots of the initial report, which he has shown to CBC. He has also been referred to another physiotherapist at a different clinic. Now, you know what they say, you know that classic saying, if you run into one person who calls you an uneducated, massive redneck pussy, they're the problem.
Yeah.
But if every person you run into calls you an uneducated, massive redneck pussy, maybe you're the uneducated, massive redneck pussy.
They're saying if he goes to this physiotherapist and he also calls him a massive redneck pussy.
Yeah, maybe it's time to turn his gaze inward.
Maybe
that's
it's
all I'm saying.
Yeah. Time to drink a cup of concrete and also to go to school.
Yeah.
And live in the city for a while. That's the three gripes that he has, right? Uneducated, massive redneck pussy.
He needs to become smaller. He needs to become smaller. Yeah. And
what
I don't think
happened?
That's necessarily a weight type issue. It might be that he's too tall.
Yeah.
You know?
What happened in that appointment, in that physiotherapy appointment to assist your body, that the guy decided he was a massive redneck hick pussy?
Yeah, guy was talking to him about Hamilton, and he was just like, oh, that sounds awful. And he's like, well, this guy's a fucking redneck. He doesn't know shit about anything.
Yeah, it's a real mystery, this one.
Mm.
Munro says he would like an apology from the physiotherapist. Beyond that, he said he's still too angry to know how he wants the situation to be rectified. Fire that physiotherapist out of a cannon.
Yeah. I think that's only justice.
I think firstly I need an apology. Secondly, I would consider accepting him being fired out of a cannon.
Yeah, all I'm saying is it's never helpful to say, like, you need to fix this situation, but you can't tell them how. Yeah. That's all. That's all. Make up your mind.
Being like, no, I'm fine. You figure out.
Yep.
I think the physiotherapist should have to go on TV and say, he's not a pussy. He's incredibly brave. He's a very brave little soldier, and he got through his physio appointments without saying, owie, even once.
He's the bravest massive redneck I've ever met.
That's right.
I'm not victim blaming, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know this guy.
Wow. Yeah, you don't. That's true.
He might be one. He might be.
We report. You decide.
You know how there was that there was a thing doing the rounds on social media recently, which was a person who was claiming, oh, I was really on the side of trans people and their rights, and then one of them was rude to me in a bathroom, and now I'm coincidentally and very conveniently extremely anti-trans, and I'm writing letters to the editor about it, and I'm going on the news and all this sort of thing.
Mm.
And when that person was telling her story about how she was like in the bathroom and there was a trans woman in the bathroom, and then she was like, yeah, and I used the bathroom and I made some innocuous comment to this person about the sinks or something, and then they turned around and they assaulted me verbally. And I cannot help but read their account of this story and say, what did you actually do? What did you actually do while you were in the bathroom with this person to make them turn around and tell you to fuck off?
Either did this happen or what did you actually say?
Is this one where it was like in England and it was like a Tory councillor who said that a trans woman intimidatingly said she was going to have to dry her hands on her penis?
Yes.
Which was completely insane. And then a woman... on Twitter was like, oh, I was at that pub the other night and I made an offhand comment to someone about making small talk about how the hair dryer was broken and said I'd probably just have to dry my hands on my pants.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And when I was reading that thing, the whole time I was just like, yeah, because the way you're telling the story is like, I was being super normal.
Yeah,
I was being so normal and respectful,
and someone was just rude to me for no reason. And also, I knew that they were trans. I asked them what genitals they had.
Yeah, are you a trans? You have to tell me.
Otherwise, it's like being a cop.
Yeah, that's something I've been really not enjoying, because obviously it's in the context of transphobia. But it's really weird seeing people try and be transphobic about trans people, but not be able to use trans or transgender the right way in a sentence. Never able to figure out whether it's like a noun or an adjective or whatever. They're like, I saw someone transing the other day. It was a trans. Yeah. A transgendered saw me and I had to run away. Like, you know, just maybe see how it's used in context and maybe try and sound it out like a child would.
Yeah, just sound it out. Give it a go.
Yeah.
So these things also didn't happen.
Yeah, my point is that I do look at this story and think, that's a very strange thing for somebody to write on your file in a completely unprompted manner.
Unprompted.
Makes me go, what? Like, oh, I'm just agreeing with you, Ben. I would love to maybe know what kind of encounter you had in your initial physiotherapy session.
It's a character assessment. It's not like writing something fucked up, like, oh, the guy with the cross eyes or something. It's like, you have assessed this man's character.
This guy like is a piece of shit.
Siding against the man who's called a pussy pus physiotherapist.
Maybe I
am. Pussy's a pretty funny one in there. Like...
Calling someone a massive pussy on their file is a very good bit. I'm sorry.
Also, like, this is fucking whatever year we're in now. These are digital notes, for sure. This man typed these up after the session and felt comfortable being, like, putting this into his NHS file or whatever. Oh, no, it's Canada, whatever it is. But, yeah, just like, redneck pussy. Well, I hope this stays in the public record forever.
Maybe he was just trying to warn other future physiotherapists, you know? Just trying to do the right thing.
Oh, man, this would have been so hurtful. Imagine if because he's saying that the guy was initially very friendly. And so he's, like, left the physiotherapist being like, you know what? Me and Steve have great chemistry. We're just vibing in there.
I'll come back here.
Yeah. Talking about shooting stuff out in the woods. Classic regular stuff to do. But later on, he's checking his file. Oh, my God. Steve said that? About me?
I don't know. Maybe they had a nice initial meeting, and then during his session, he was like, also, I don't think that people of color should have access to physiotherapy.
That's what I'm thinking.
This guy's like, let me just make a little note.
Yeah, in that conversation in your professional thing, and you're like, oh, okay.
All right.
That's
you write
interesting
in.
Opinion.
Let us know. Is he a victim of bullying or is he racist?
You decide.
It can be both. It can be both. All I'm saying is, look, it's a very, very simple thing. As far as I know, No one's ever written that on my file. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As far as you checked? Know.
Yeah, and I'd rather not know. I'd rather not know.
I'd be so hurt.
All of my files for stuff like that would just say, this guy could not stop making jokes during our consultation.
Yeah. While I was checking his balls for lumps, he kept saying stuff.
Telling me how much he hated the film Skinamarink while I was giving him a vasectomy.
Me and Eleanor were both making jokes throughout my vasectomy.
Why not?
The jokes don't stop just because something's going on, you know? That's how I deal with feeling slightly nervous. Okay?
This man lives and breathes comedy.
Live and breathe podcasting. I am the Winter Vista Comedian of the Week.
We haven't declared it yet in this episode. It may happen. It might not.
Okay, that's fair. Hey, being a massive redneck pussy, it's a natural phenomenon. And it's time to retreat to the corner of nature. It's Nature Corner.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. Winter Vista, Nature Corner, Robert Kraft.
This comes to us from WLWT in Cincinnati, Ohio. Owl rescued from chimney after family evacuated from home due to carbon monoxide leak.
Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when God
closes a chimney,
when he puts an owl in your house, he also... Hamilton County dog wardens made a unique rescue last week. Cincinnati Animal Care posted to their Twitter saying a family had been recently evacuated from their home due to a carbon monoxide leak. When officials came to track down the cause, they discovered it was an owl stuck in their chimney.
Oh, that was the cause of it.
Yeah. Which, of course, makes total obvious sense.
And you're an idiot if you don't know why.
Are they suggesting that the owl was blocking the chimney and they had their fireplace going and that was because it was...
the carbon monoxide couldn't escape?
And it was going directly into the house. So they were slow roasting an owl in their fireplace and asphyxiating themselves while doing so.
I mean, it sounds like the owl was okay. Just got some toasty feet.
Yeah, I guess so. That can't be...
Can't be good for an owl.
One of the Hamilton County dog wardens rescued the owl. Seems like he's really straying outside his lane there. Mm. And it was evaluated and released. Family was able to return to their home as well.
Well, how do you picture the owl, the evaluation taking place?
Sorry, what do you mean?
Just a little play
on
words.
I think the word's evaluation.
Evaluation, yeah.
The evaluation. I'm just picturing holding an owl and just kind of turning it upside down, all about, and going, "Yep."
I think they grab the owl and they say, "What year is it? Who's the current president?" And then the owl says, "Who? I am the Bunta Vista Comedian of the Week." this is an incredibly short story. That's the whole story. I just kind of wanted it in there because it took me quite a long time to try and figure out what the causal link between those two events was. But I guess it literally just, you got an owl plug in your fire hole.
The owl really sealed up that chimney. That's wild.
That owl was the perfect size and shape of your chimney? That's fucked up.
That's fucked up. You're getting final destinationed in that house.
By an owl. What a way to go. What? The whole family died. Owl attack. Very indirect owl attack. That owl is using asymmetrical warfare on this family.
He knew what he was doing.
The house that George and I lived in together had a fireplace, which obviously in Brisbane, there's not a lot of cause to use it. But we tried to use it two times. The first time, absolutely fantastic. Amazing experience. Very nice having a fire in the living room. Wonderful. Don't know what changed, but the second time we used it, the chimney was completely clogged up and it just filled our entire house with smoke and ash and it was horrible. Very bad time. Maybe there was an owl in there or a nightjar, perhaps.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were looking for a new house recently, and we were going around looking at different houses, and I think in the same way that, you know, how like people look at gas stoves and say, hey, they're actually really bad for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, they're leaving all their naughty gas particles in your house. They're coming and prying at your lungs. Any open fireplace. We saw a place with like an open fireplace, you know? I was like, that can't be good. That can't be good for anyone.
I don't like a fireplace. I don't want to smell like a campfire.
Well, yeah, I don't mind a combustion heater, you know, like the fireplaces that are freestanding and you close them with like a glass door on the front of them and they're completely sealed up. That's cool. I can get down with that.
Mm.
But the open fireplace, it's very old-timey. A little too old-timey, if you ask me.
It is.
I'm with you. I don't need to smell smoky. I don't need to be robbed of any of my precious oxygen. That's for me.
Sorry, I thought that was the start of a very abstract segue. Nope. I was trying to see how those pieces are going to come together.
No, I don't want my oxygen stolen. And you may, in fact, wind up stealing my oxygen by shooting me with a gun and killing me. How about that? How about that?
Oh, that's perfect.
It's time to check in on what's going on over in a little place we like to call America. It's time for America Watch. This comes to us from WFMY, the Woofamoor in North Carolina. Greensboro Police Department dealing with gun overflow in storage facility.
Yeah.
Can't hold all these guns. Clatter, clatter. You know?
Juggling them like an armful of limes.
Mm-hmm. There are too many guns and not enough storage within the Greensboro Police Department. That's the problem the department is facing after seizing thousands of firearms from the community over the years. How many firearms you got to seize? Is everybody like Yosemite Samming about stuff when they get mad?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. That's what they do over there.
They're doing yeehaw type stuff.
When they're happy, when they're angry. It's just sort of their default emotional reaction
just
to things.
Just one big gunshot in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you're trying to get something off a high shelf. And you have to, like,
have
Yosemite
to trick
Sam.
Shut it off.
Yeah, no. Like, you know how Yosemite Sam fires them both at the ground repeatedly and he starts to rise off the ground?
It's like grenade jumping in Halo.
Yes, exactly. That's what I believe people in North Carolina to be doing. Rather than buying a small ladder, they're instead just using up ammunition. WFMY News 2 spoke with the Forensic Services Director on how they're handling the issue. Greensboro police officers work day in, day out, confiscating guns that are either illegal or used in a crime. You guys got too many guns? I don't know.
Can't you just, like, destroy them?
Oh, it's funny that you say that. Wait till we get to the end of this article.
Okay.
Quote, some of the guns we are still retaining because they are needed for court and things like that. Kelly
things of
Moore
that
said.
Nature. Yeah.
You know, court stuff.
You know, court stuff.
They've got to be stored somewhere. In this case, it's an overcrowded vault. We have over 11,000 firearms in custody at present.
Oh my God, is this one city? Or like a council?
This is Greensboro, North Carolina. This is a city. One regular old city? What's the population on Greensboro, Ben?
298,000 people.
That's so many guns.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's the size of Hobart. Like a little bit bigger than Hobart, I guess. Oh, actually, 11,000. They measure population differently, don't they? Because they only count like they're in the metro area for their population when you look up a city. Because Americans are fucking weird. But yeah, this is a small city. That's 11,000 guns. That's a shitload of guns.
That's like a few guns per person.
Yes. Yeah, we don't need Theo here
probably
to do maths.
30 or 40.
That is some guns. Moore said the vault is designed to only hold 3,000 firearms. There are ways to reduce the number. Take them out of the vault.
You've stacked them in there nice, though. Like, good for you. Like, you've figured out some spatial problems.
You've really Tetrised your 11,000 guns.
I still think it's too many. Quote, What the law allows us to do now, once we received authorization, that gun is no longer needed to be retained in our custody, we receive a court order. That court order permits us to either retain the gun for official agency use, pew, pew, or we are authorized to sell, trade, or exchange the firearm with a federally licensed firearm dealer. Moore explained. Put it back into circulation.
Yeah. I love that this is like reduce, reuse, recycle. Put your guns back out there.
Just the EB game situation. You can trade in like five pistols for an M4.
Oh, you're a level 3 now in your membership. That's great. Look, I think the most important thing to understand from this is that a gun's not doing anyone any good locked up in a vault.
Yeah.
Got to get it out there. Get it back into the community, you know?
Yeah. Get that back in circulation.
Moore said the department prefers to give a stolen gun back to its rightful owner, but if they can't track them down, GPD keeps it. Free gun?
That doesn't seem right. I don't think the cops should get to keep your gun.
Yeah.
They've got enough.
They are absolutely going to. These guys are gun addicts. They've got a problem.
Can't get enough of them.
What would you rather, that your partner collected 3,000 guns or 3,000 Funko Pops?
Ooh.
Probably guns.
Yeah, I got to go with the guns.
Yep. Police, vindicated. Quote, we are able to destroy guns only when they do not have a legible serial number or identification number or when they are unsafe to use, Moore said.
I'd argue that guns as a whole are unsafe to use.
It's kind of the point of...
Yeah.
Kind of by design.
My goodness. And that they're, like, actually restricted from destroying them? Is that the vibe that I'm getting here?
Yes. Yeah, their problem is that they're not allowed to destroy as many guns as they would like.
Oh.
Huh. Interesting. The department says it wants the ability to destroy guns without any restrictions. It's something they were able to do before the law changed in 2013.
Okay.
No gun left behind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quote, if we were unable to locate an owner or an owner couldn't legally possess a firearm and we were authorized to release the custody, we would destroy the firearms, Moore said.
That's their policy on Funkos too, you know? Yep. If you can't locate the rightful owner of the stolen Funkos, the cops get to keep them.
We are authorized to destroy these Funko Pops. Melt them down into one big Funko Pop, you know? There's a proposed bill in Raleigh that loosens some restrictions on destroying firearms. Representative Pricey Harrison supports it.
I don't know if I can afford that.
Quote, that's another important provision in our bill. There are people back home, There are people back home, sheriff, city, council, police, chief, that feel strongly about being able to destroy the guns.
We'll never know.
We'll never know what that means.
Did you copy-paste it wrong, Ben?
No. No.
We report, you decide.
Yeah.
There are people back home, like the sheriff and city council and police chief, that feel strongly about being able to destroy the guns, Harrison said. That would be a big help, Moore said. You know?
They're just asking to please destroy their 11,000 guns.
Just let us...
somebody saying no.
No. Imagine the, like, giant, the gun-squishing machine they have for destroying these. Or the gun-melting machine.
Oh, that'd be great.
The gun crusher? The gun crusher 5,000?
You think they're crushing? You think they're, like, hydraulic pressing these guns?
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, how else... How destroy gun?
How destroy gun?
How to properly destroy firearms.
Siri, how destroy gun now?
Destroy gun, quiet, discreet, without wife find out. Oh, you meant to just like use an oxy/acetylene torch.
I'll just cut them in half.
Yeah. Just blowtorch in those bad boys?
Yeah.
That just sounds like fun.
Cutting them crossways. You must remove at least a quarter of an inch of metal per cut. Must be made at angles and completely sever the receiver in at least 3 critical locations.
Hmm.
Yeah, right. Thank you, ATF.
Fascinating.
Hmm.
They'll pry all my different pieces of the one gun out of my cold, dead hands.
So true.
Folks, we are continuing on with our scheduled America Watch. This comes to us from WNBC in New York. The Wynbaker. Tip from fishermen leads to submerged gun cache found in Jamaica Bay.
Don't.
Nope.
Nope. None of that.
Today's catch of the day, guns. And a lot of them.
Oh, we're having fun at work that day. The guy that wrote this article, the person that wrote this article is the Punta Vista secondary comedian of the week.
In a stunning find in the waters off Queens, a man who went fishing Tuesday morning found an arsenal of firearms hidden in Jamaica Bay.
Don't.
Quote, I was walking by the bay, I was fishing, and I saw a big metal box. I got close to it, and I started looking around. I saw some garbage bags. So I go a little bit closer, and I saw some guns sticking out of the bag, said the fisherman, who did not wish to be identified. He was trudging through the muck during low tide to see if striped bass were running. But instead, he saw the box and three garbage bags with long guns sticking out. Quote, I left them in the water. I got scared. I didn't know what to do, the man said.
That's really fair. That's the most reasonable thing an American has ever done. Oh, like, that's a ton of guns. I'm getting out of here.
No, thank you.
That not today, Satan.
Entirely too many guns. Do you think after, like, are we taking from this that the guns had been thrown into the water and that the tide has then gone out and left a bunch of muddy muck here and then exposed the metal box and the guns?
Like, probably. That box was probably meant to sink.
Well, yeah, so it was the metal box.
You should make sure you're doing that further out, you know?
Yeah.
To me...
Understand the tides in your local area when you are disposing tides. Of your guns.
Cache implies that, like, you're storing it for later use, which I don't know a lot about guns and water. It seems bad. It seems like a bad mix.
That's probably not where you would store your cache. Like, I'm not getting cache vibes from this.
Mm. Yeah.
Not me personally. Couldn't be me. That's my take. He went home, but was troubled by what he found and couldn't sleep. The next day, he alerted police and led NYPD Emergency Service Unit scuba divers to the spot where he spotted the weapons. I like the idea that they went out and it was still low tide, and the scuba divers just had to walk out there. Their little fins falling over in the mud.
Flopping around, falling over.
Yep.
Should have worn our shoes.
Imagine if at the start of the mask, instead of... that pylon knocking open a locked box containing a mask from the Norse trickster god Loki that Stanley Ipkiss then finds and then uses to act out his subconscious desires. It was like 14 guns and he used them to act out his subconscious desires.
Imagine.
That would be a really... It would be called the 14 guns.
Police on Thursday recovered 14 handguns and 3 assault rifles from the water near Beach 38th Street and Norton Drive in Edgemere. I feel proud of myself that I think I did the right thing, the anonymous fisherman said. Yeah, if you think you did the right thing, maybe put your bloody name on it. How about that?
The anonymous fisherman said, Craig Smithley.
While law enforcement applauded the man for speaking up and doing the right thing, the question remains, who is throwing or storing guns?
No.
Big ones and a number of them into Jamaica Bay. That's the mystery the NYPD is working to unravel. I would probably immediately start trying to unravel the mystery of who was killed with these guns. I think that's the main thing.
I don't
think
anyone's storing their guns in Jamaica Bay.
In loose in garbage bags? Well, that doesn't make sense.
It's definitely more of a, I'm getting rid of my crime guns. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to talk shit about the NYPD, but... You sound like a real dumb bitch right now.
Get him. You know? Ballistic testing and tracing will be done on all the weapons from the submerged cache to find out if they were used in any crimes. The recovered guns did not appear to have sustained significant damage. Well, maybe it is a good place to store your guns.
Maybe. No one's thought of it before.
Mm-hmm. What if I were to drop these off a pier, but leave a piece of string tied to them?
Mm. You know, how else would I find my guns that I threw to the bottom of Jamaica Bay?
Pull them back up when you want to do some crimes. Put them back down again. That's what I'd be doing. No arrests have been made yet, though law enforcement sources said that one of the guns found was stolen from upstate New York. Mystery. Maybe we'll find out more about these guns in episodes to come.
We won't.
Maybe we will.
We almost never have follow-up stories. I'm going to say for certain this one definitely won't.
Probably not.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, hold out hope, folks. Don't listen to this naysayer here just because he's the one who decides what we talk about on the show.
Yeah, who knows? I might be surprised by my own decisions.
Ben reports and Ben decides.
That's right. I report and I decide.
Well, that is an episode of the podcast, Bunda Vista. And we love to hear it, don't we, folks?
Oh, we sure do love to hear an episode of the podcast, Bunda Vista, almost as much as we love recording one. Hey, keep your eyes peeled for Playbrill.
Keep thinking about it.
Yeah. Don't talk to your friends about Playbrill. But get ready for it.
Sizzle.
We will let you know when it's time to talk about Playbrill.
Yeah. April.
Probably April.
That's it, folks. See you next time.
Bye.